Welcome to Seek Reality with your host, Roberta Grimes. Author and attorney Roberta Grimes will explore and illustrate how she, after an extraordinary experience of light in childhood, has discovered channels of communication to the afterlife and how these implications have an effect on our everyday lives. Please welcome the host of Seek Reality, Roberta Grimes.
I'm so glad to have you with us today on Seek Reality. I'm Roberta Grimes, and I'm delighted to welcome yet another wonderful, interesting person. That's what I love about what I do. I love hearing from people as well, so don't hesitate to reach out to me. But it's so great to meet all these wonderful, wonderful specialists and things. Frankly, one of the things I love most about doing this work is that there's so much to learn. I've been doing this for 50 years, and there still are areas I have barely touched on. And we're doing a series of three programs on those areas. As you know, last week, we had the 2013 Australian Psychic of the Year, Debbie Malone, to talk about psychic detective work. I had no idea about all of that, and she's an expert. So that was last week. Next week, our guest is going to be Virginia Hummel, and she's the Orb Whisperer. She's going to share with us an amazing, but actually indisputably genuine phenomenon, which is our loved dead ones appearing as orbs of light. This is fun. You're going to enjoy her. And this week, Dr. David Lowe is back with us for a repeat performance. He was with us just actually like a month or two ago. This time he's going to talk to us about another thing I know nothing about, which is dreams. Three whole new areas of fun stuff to talk about, and this is just right on the edge of afterlife evidence. This is something you can spend your whole life researching, what happens at and after death and everything related to it. So I hope you sort of get bitten by this hobby because I still enjoy it so much. David Lowe is a researcher, a teacher, a speaker. He's an expert in the field of meditation and dream work. And also, he's someone who's done a tremendous amount of research on spirituality and religion. When we talked with him last, it was about Universal Spiritual Philosophy and Practice, which is a great book he wrote. It's a summary handbook for people who are trying to sort of find their spiritual home. He has done more work than I can ever imagine doing on all the different religions that there are. Now, this is another thing he does. He does dream work. And this is something I know nothing about, except the kinds of dreams that loved ones give us. We'll talk a little about that. But this is a whole new area. So I'm thrilled to have David here again. Welcome, David. And we're going to have a lot of fun with this.
Thank you, Roberta. It's great to be on the show. I really look forward to talking some more.
Well, let's briefly tell people a little about your background in case they didn't hear our earlier program, and then we're going to plunge into dreams.
Yeah, basically, I got a whole bunch of degrees, which don't necessarily mean much, master's and PhD and so forth. My real education happened over the course of about 40 years worth of spiritual practice, pilgrimage, spending time around teachers in ashrams and so forth, and processing a lot of personal material, doing a lot of purification and working on my dreams. It varies in importance as to how important dreams are for a person's spirituality, but probably 90% of people can benefit from paying more attention to dreams than they do. With me, it was especially important. So I spent about 30, 35 years tracking, writing down, interpreting.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. About how to interpret dreams and so forth. I've been with lots of people to help me do it, studied and so forth. So, yeah, it's kind of especially mine at this point.
Oh, dear. Well, I usually don't remember dreams, and there may be people listening who don't remember dreams. So are we like hopelessly failures, or what is that all about?
No, it's interesting. Everybody dreams every night. That's been known for decades. If you're not allowed to dream, you'll basically go nuts after a couple of weeks. If you're not allowed to dream, but you're still allowed to get enough sleep, you will slowly lose your ability to function. They do have psychobiological functions, brain maintenance, in some ways that scientists don't quite understand. So everybody does dream every night, and some people either don't need to remember them, things are smooth enough in their life, that isn't where their spirituality is focused. More likely, they're just not interested enough in them. They haven't paid enough attention to their spirituality or to the notion that you can get help from God or that you can ask for help and get help back. They're just not interested. Probably most of the time, they're probably not interested enough and have not doing the right things with their life by way of stimulating dreams to happen.
Okay, well, so I'm very spiritual. And I mean, maybe it's just all smooth. I have no idea why. I do go through periods when I dream a little, but is it a warning sign of some sort if you don't dream? Because as I say, I feel quite at peace with the fact. I mean, I dream. I understand I do, but that I don't remember the dreams.
Right, right. Well, you know, God is playful. Dreams are going to happen anyway, but for the most part, they do happen for a reason. If things have smoothed out a lot in your life in terms of your spirituality, maturity, and so forth, then you're not going to have a lot of difficult, problematic dreams.
Right.
But dreams have happened anyway, and sometimes we are offered deeper insights about things that we're ready for. So, they definitely happen for a reason. And sometimes they're playful. Sometimes the messages that they mean to give you aren't particularly important. It would be nice to tune into them, but they're not totally necessary. But for most people, they can benefit a lot from paying attention to their dreams.
I think I'm one who just probably doesn't really need to remember them as much. How did you first get interested in dreams? Were you doing a lot of dreaming and getting them your dreams interpreted, or what was all that about?
Yes, I got interested in dreams primarily because from a fairly early age, well, after my teenage years, I went through a period of experimentation in my teenage years with it. But then I lost interest pretty much until I began having, well, I guess more or less disturbing dreams in connection with spiritual stuff that I was going through. My dream life was quite active. And after I got certain initiations and ran into certain influences, something got jump-started inside of me. I began having extraordinary dreams of a different type altogether than ordinary dreams. So I began to look at, you know, my dreams in general, got dictionaries and so forth, began trying to puzzle them out. Yeah, it was because my particular karma, if you will, involved a lot of dreams in connection to spiritual issues.
So what are they anyway? Are they messages from your mind? Are they... because I have had some notions about what they are, but what are the people who are in the field of studying dreams? What's the actual process? Is it just neurons firing? What is going on?
Well, there are biological theories, cognitive theories, psychological theories, spiritual theories. There are some folks who think that dreams are purely a byproduct of brain of the neurochemical interactions. Some people think that they are a byproduct of, you know, cognitive processes where old knowledge is thrown out, new knowledge is gained or revised. Most people who do dream work in terms of art have a strong interest in spirituality, and they believe like I do, and this is my own definition of dreams, that they are the ordinary psychic faculty that human beings possess to access, you know, spiritual knowledge, psychic and spiritual knowledge. I say ordinary because we all have that faculty as part of who we are. Some people have extraordinary gifts like clairvoyance. But
right.
We all have the ability to dream or to remember them. Whoops, sorry. No more of that.
Okay. Well, so, all right. So, looking at what dreams are then, and the fact that some dream a lot and some dream not much, and this curious fact that if we don't dream, it has a severely negative effect on our brains.
Right.
Are dreams involved with brain maintenance then in some way, cleaning out, you know, sweeping out the house kind of in your brain, or what's the relationship there? Why would we have to do it?
Well, you know, from a spiritual standpoint, our astral or dream or subtle body has its own cycle of activity during the 24-hour cycle of a day, just like our physical body does.
Right.
That's fundamentally why we sleep. And sleep is actually a bit of a mystery to scientists even now.
Yes.
So that's why we sleep. And, there's no question that they have psychobiological functions. A person, again, the precisely what those functions are, we don't know. But there's no question that if someone isn't allowed to dream, you slowly begin to, you flunk psychological tests, you become irritable, you lose your ability to function altogether eventually if you're not allowed to dream. And then you do a lot of dreaming intentionally. When you start up again, there is a kind of rebound effect where the person dreams a great deal for a while before it fades back down to the normal level of frequency of dreaming.
Well, so let's start interpreting dreams, because people have kinds of dreams and they say, what the heck did that mean? For example, what are some interesting things that can happen in dreams that have known messages attached to them or assumed messages?
Well, maybe the best first thing to talk about is There's a wide variety, probably 9/10 of the dreams people have reflect common psychological tensions which we experience in daily life. Things like falling, flunking a test, being undressed in public, meeting a
celebrity, yes.
Being pregnant, dying. All of those dreams are pretty transparent in terms of their general overall meaning. Okay. There's a whole, of course, the more complex dreams you can't easily understand. But those kinds of dreams tend to be pretty standard in terms of what they mean overall. And they happen because we don't need to be as insecure, as anxious, as out of control as we often are. So they are useful in that they show up to tell us things.
But what do they tell us, David? For example, a pregnancy, someone who dreams they're pregnant, what would that mean? Or someone who dreams of falling, what does that mean?
So again, common situations, common psychological tensions, so being pregnant is usually something like a new idea or project germinating inside you, or something which you are about to give birth to in some sense or other.
Yeah.
Dying is often a part of you which has gone out of commission, a capacity of yours which you are unaware that you have temporarily kind of sidelined, or often a rebirth. Because, you know, when you die, you are born again. So something's dying inside you to be reborn later. That, dreams have many possible meanings, an infinite number of possible meanings. But there's always one ideal, most appropriate meaning, which you can nail down between you and the person that you're working with. And there's always a good aha feeling when that happens.
So what you do then professionally, one of the things you do is to help people who are maybe troubled by or interested in what's happening in their dreams, and you help them make sense of what it means?
Right. In the context of a more general overall counseling session, I like to work with dreams. Invariably, dreams happen, especially if you're going through difficult issues. There's turmoil in your life, lots of changes, and you're dreaming actively. That's the time when you really need to pay attention and to try to understand what they're telling you. And it's usually all symbolic. There are sometimes literal elements to people's dreams, but they're usually 100% symbolic. But that doesn't mean you can't not understand them. It means that you need to dialogue with them on a regular basis. Use simple dictionaries, especially thick ones with all sorts of scholarly references and alternative meanings. Really short dream books are useless, but a thick simple dictionary is very helpful.
And one of the things I've wondered about is whether dreams, because I actually had been told this long ago, whether dreams have a relationship with the fact that when we are, when our bodies sleep, very often we are out of body and seeing our dead loved ones or consulting with guides, doing all of that.
Again, our spiritual body has its own cycle of activity, just like our physical body does.
Yes.
That's why we sleep, because we have a spiritual nature. There's a spiritual part of our being. We all go back to source partially before we awaken again.
Yes.
Dreams automatically formulate themselves to tell us stuff symbolically that we need to know in connection with various issues that we're going through, right? Our thoughts and feelings don't just exist in our heads. Thoughts and feelings as mental phenomena, they inhabit higher dimensions, which transcend time and space, right?
Right.
So you could say that our extended auras, if you will, are always interacting with each other. And dreams, and again, this if you're really into your spirituality, especially, and you're going through all sorts of stuff, you realize that human beings are unfolding, actualizing creatures. You're not just old, cold, and stuck in your ways. Then you will be in touch with your dreams, and dreams automatically, you can be assured in that situation that dreams are formulating themselves automatically to help you with issues which you're facing. Huh.
Fascinating. So your guides might set up a dream to tell, because you met with them and they want you to remember something about that meeting that you had, so they might have you have a dream that gives you information symbolically from that meeting. Is that something that could happen?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Some people Some people don't really have, I mean, I myself have three or four regular angels, if you will, who show up every so often to tell me stuff. I can't ask them, but they show up when they think it's appropriate.
Right.
But a lot of people don't have, explicit guides, but they do have a sense of overall direction and purpose and destiny. And like the most profound sense of what God is just the implicit knowledge that all of us are unfolding into a greater reality at whatever rate. And dreams are the guide, one of the guides we can use to keep going in the right direction. But yeah, I mean, if you have a powerful experience with like one spirit, if you have a good relationship with one totem animal or one angel or one spiritual guide, you can have faith that that agency is the one who's throwing a dream at you every so often. Yeah, sure.
One of the things that I suppose I should say here is it's believed by most afterlife researchers, which is a different thing from what you do, that we each of us has a primary spirit guide. But it may well be that in the course of the work you're doing, you aren't encountering that sort of side of things. But this is a whole other area of complexity. And part of one of the ways we know this is a scholarly area is that there is no pat answer. We're all really still learning. But all right, so what if people want to dream? Is there a way they can prompt that dream?
Yes, there certainly is. You can, overall, again, one, greater interest in spirituality. Two, specific interest in dreams. Buy a book about dreams and start reading it. Three, ritualize the latter part of your evening. Not every night, but maybe once or twice a week. The last half hour, hour or so, last couple of hours, yoga, spiritual reading, meditation, journaling. And then before you go to bed, repeat out loud, I affirm, I will remember my dreams. Also, put yourself out, get yourself out of your comfort zone in your daily life. Do things which cause feelings and thoughts to come up and start moving around inside you. So get uncomfortable in your daily life. Challenge yourself. That will cause dreams to start happening. All those things.
How interesting, really. So
absolutely.
If you're trying something new, whether it's learning how to ski or investigating a new religion or a new spiritual area, that's likely to – doing new stuff is likely to prompt people to dream.
Yeah, and especially working with personal issues. I mean, issues which things which you have minor traumas or frustrations around, points of resistance, hang-ups, buttons that need to be pushed. Get them pushed to some extent.
Really?
That will cause you to dream more so than anything else, because dreams are all about working through personal issues. That's what they're for, to help us grow and unfold.
And if you ignore your dreams, you don't pay any attention to them at all, are they still useful to you?
Well, God's self, as I call it, doesn't want us to be unhappy. If you ignore your dreams, your life is probably going to turn out fine in the normal course of events, like most lives do.
Right.
But there always exists greater possibilities of happiness and fulfillment above and beyond the norm. That's what they're for. That information is always on offer. Okay, it's completely optional whether we want to pay attention to a dream or not. But if we want to grow and unfold, that's what we should do. That's the most effective avenue of growth and unfoldment in terms of direction and specific practical things that we should or should not do.
Okay, that's very interesting. So, all right, David, the dreams are happening where we've maybe encouraged them, or we just notice we're dreaming a lot about certain things. What should our response be?
Well, first, let me toot my horn. For an hour, I will. If you send me $25, I will spend an hour on the phone with you about your dream. But no, for the most part, just write down. If you wake up having had a really complex dream, which you can't possibly remember all of you, and you have no time to write it all down, spend 5 minutes writing down major things, major images and sayings or whatever was in the dream. 5 minutes trying to figure it out. What the heck is this? And what could I mean? Write down some things, even if you have no idea. Write it down. Try to figure it out. Then 5 minutes, and this is important, asking God or writing in your journal questions and frustrations about what does this mean? Here, hit me with it again from a different angle, or I have no idea what this is saying. But come on, I'm not that smart, God. Please try again. Make it easier. And by the way, I have this problem. Write that down too. And that way you are dialoguing with your dreams. So things will automatically shift when you start doing that. And you'll start getting dreams which are easier to fathom and which are less difficult to figure out. So if you dialogue with your dreams like that, you will automatically start being able to figure them out, even if you know little or nothing about symbolism, okay? Which is really more a matter of maturity than it is of study, believe it or not.
Okay, so someone is, and I said this to him during the break. One of the most common sort of motifs I hear about in dreams is snakes.
Right.
And I've been told that they have something to do with sex, but you said during the break they're way more complicated. So someone's having a bunch of dreams about sex. About snakes, rather. How would they approach that dream? They wrote it down. Snakes are all over the place. How would they approach that?
Well, you have to look at the whole context of the dream, but the snakes can mean, oh, gosh, there's all that biblical stuff. They're associated with sin. They're associated with wisdom because they're so subtle and canny, again, with that biblical association. They're associated with spiritual initiation and transformation. Because when a poisonous snake bites you, your body changes. Okay.
Right.
They're associated with spiritual awakening because in the Eastern traditions, there's this notion that of the kundalini energy, which exists at the base of your spine as a coiled serpent. Okay.
Oh, wow.
And of course, they're associated with of course sexuality because they are inherently phallic. So yeah, all of those associations are there: spiritual initiation, wisdom, canniness, sexuality, transformation. So snakes can mean any of those things depending upon the context of the dream.
Okay, someone wrote down the dream and went through all of those. How would they know the direction to go? Do they? It just feels right when they think of that direction?
But you have to sort of, there are people who approach dreams more from the standpoint of feelings than cognitive knowledge about symbols.
Uh-huh.
Because when you unlock what the dream is telling you, it's more on a feeling, emotional level. There's a more deeper connection with some aspect of yourself. But to do that, you have to sort of fathom, you know, what you can feel into a dream more so than you can think about it. I tend
right.
to think about them too much, but I can get to a person's feelings by understanding symbols as well as I do. So you have to just use your intuition, use your feelings, and use the context of the dream. I mean, if there are a lot of attractive girls around in the dream and there's a snake as well, yeah, it's got to be more about sexuality or something like that. Right. If there's
right.
a lot of scholars and books and tests being taken and there's a snake, it's going to be more about wisdom or canniness or something.
Ah, okay. All right. That's interesting. And if people are trying to understand their dream, they don't have to talk to God, right? I mean, some people aren't comfortable talking to God for various reasons. So they can maybe just dialogue with the dream itself. Okay, dream, I'm trying to understand you.
Right. Dreams meet you where you're at. Okay.
Right.
I mean, dreams, the dream sources I call God, self, source, truth, light, dream source, understands that we have varying levels of belief in higher reality and so forth. And, you know, so you can dialogue. I mean, the whole notion of an inner wisdom, of a sort of intuitive knowing, a deeper kind of inherent knowing or knowledge we have of reality that comes from deep within ourselves, hunches, intuition. People relate to that idea. So if it's only the notion of like inner wisdom and intuition, you know, 10 heads are better than one in a group, you can approach the dream on that basis. You do have
right.
an inner wisdom.
So I have this snake dream that I maybe have had once or twice, and this is hypothetical. This isn't me, and there were attractive men around. What do I do about that knowledge? So I say, oh, that must be about sex, but I don't know what to do with that knowledge. What should someone do if they think they've gotten to the root of what their dream means? What
okay.
do you do?
Okay, well, so I'll just go ahead and say a woman. has a dream involving attractive men and snakes. Okay, so just ideally, of course, most dreams are more complex than that, and you need to know the client very well before you can attempt any kind of good interpretation. But on that basis, we can say that, you know, the lady has, you know, issues with sexuality, has specific points of frustration around, or maybe she needs to connect with a more masculine aspect of herself. Perhaps it has nothing to do with sexuality at all.
Really? Interesting.
It may be just need to connect with your own masculine side, becoming more assertive and you know, all that sort of thing, the difference between men and women. You want complementarity, even though we are either one or the other. You want to be able to like both. So it may be a matter of contacting your inner masculinity. It may be an issue with explicit sexuality. It may be an acknowledgement. Maybe, you know, sometimes dreams happen to let you know that you've done well with something. It's like a congratulatory dream.
Really?
If you've been through a lot of interesting, successful stuff with your sexuality lately, that may be saying you're on the right track. Good girl. Go for it. No problem. Don't need to worry about that anymore. That may be what it's saying. That may be what it's telling you. It depends on the context of your life.
Would you partly know it by the way the dream makes you feel? If it makes you feel as if you're doing well, then that was the message of the dream? Or how would you know? How do you know what it means?
There's three things involved. One is what the dream is. Two is what you've been going through recently in your life. And three is, I'm kind of losing my train of thought here, but what you've been doing recently in your life, the things that have been happening, the things that you've been recently feeling and doing are often quite important. Okay, so who you are as a person individually, inside psychologically, that's one thing. What you're doing on the outside externally is one thing. And three is the actual dream itself. Okay, those three things will tell you kind of what it means. It's usually symbolic. Sometimes there are literal aspects of the dream, but you need to know yourself, know your situation, what you've been going through, and think about your feelings that you've recently been having about things, issues that you've recently been coping with. So you can dialogue with your dreams on a regular basis.
Huh. Fascinating. Now, one of the things I want to just talk briefly about communication dreams, which is the only kind of dream I know. People will have dreams about that the way you can sort of tell it's a communication dream from a loved one and it's not just you happen to dream of grandpa is that it feels usually more real than a dream. And it doesn't fade in the course of the day. In fact, I've had two communication dreams in my life years ago, and I remember them both vividly.
Right.
That seems to be the difference. I think it's important for people to understand that difference. Totally unpredictably, your loved ones may just show up. Usually,
yeah, it's a patient dream. Sure.
Yes. Usually just to say, I'm here and I love you and I'm okay or whatever. But sometimes it's a more complicated message. Sometimes they don't speak at all. They don't need to.
Right.
It's just the fact that, oh, there's grandma. She looks great. One of the things that some people will say, well, I just want so much to have a communication dream. Mm-hmm. And I can recommend Suzanne Wilson's book, Soul Smart, which just came out this year. She has a whole program in there for prompting communication dreams and then for remembering their dreams. I just want to make that little plug for the book Soul Smart because I think I know many people would like to have this kind of dream and it makes it much more likely you will have it if you go through the process she recommends.
Right.
That's just my plug for her book. So let's go back to talking about the dreams that are not necessarily – oh, do you have something maybe to say about communication dreams? You must hear about those as well.
Oh, yeah. A lot of the time, most of the time, when people see relatives in their dreams, the relatives is just another symbol.
Yes.
In general, if the dream has emotional power, really, really profound feeling power in it connecting with whoever visiting you, then it is a sincere visitation dream. Okay. If there really is a lot of meaningful emotional content, then it obviously is a visitation dream. Absolutely. Otherwise, you know, your father or mother or whatever can often function as just another symbol. Really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And And so do you find when you have people you work with for a period of time that you come to know them through the kinds of dreams that they're having? Does that act as a kind of psychotherapy?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because, you know, dreams, there's nothing that dreams will not eventually reveal about you. I mean, God knows what we're ready for at different stages of our growth. But if you're the kind of person who wants to keep secrets, then you shouldn't do dream work at all, because stuff will eventually come out. So when you work with somebody with their dreams, you automatically get to know the deeper, more personal aspects of what they're going through.
Yes.
Yeah, you really get to know them very well. Absolutely.
One of the things I think that people are concerned about is getting warnings or anything negative. Do you find that dreams sometimes function as warnings that people are off track?
More often than not, they do. Yes, all the time, all the time. Whether it's something in your business, your personal life, your health, quite often your health, people will get advanced warnings about issues like that. That's one of the major functions of dreams, in terms of my own experience. Absolutely. They will keep you on track. And again, dreams like that are more likely to happen to you if you care about who you are and what you're going through in life and what your priorities are. If you're going to be just another ordinary animal human being, eating, sleeping, reproducing, bringing home the bacon, and that's it, you don't think about higher aspects of your being, then your dreams will reflect that level of interest. But if you have a stronger spiritual interest and you realize that you're on a journey, you will get those warning dreams more often than you otherwise would have. Yeah.
For some people, I think this is an area of very important communication with who and what they are. As you point out, our guides and as you say, God will help us in ways that we are most likely to respond to. So for some people, I'm sure the kinds of dreams they're getting will really benefit from having someone, you know, help them understand what the heck this means. I think I'm going to try to do a little dreaming and then maybe talk to you about what it means, just because it's nice to have another window into yourself. This is what it really gives us, another way, as you pointed out, David, to come to understand who and what we really are and what we're about, what we should be doing.
If dreams are voluntary, that would be easy, but quite often they're usually not. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, that's okay. Talk about an analysis of dreams. If someone is having dreams and wants to use them as a gateway into the soul or a way to know more about yourself, how does that work? People make appointments with you and talk with you. Is that it?
Well, as far as what to do, write down the whole dream as many as in all the detail that you can. Then make a list of symbols, and symbols can be objects, actions, events, or sets of circumstances. It can be all those different things. Then do your best to try to figure it out and go to symbol dictionaries. That's really pretty much all you can do on your own. Okay. So yeah, I do dream work, and the way that can work on the telephone is, I mean, for the most part, people only share their dreams in the context of an established therapeutic relationship. Okay. But they tend to be quite personal. So it isn't too often that I get somebody who will do this, but on the phone for $25, I will talk to you for 1 hour about your dream. Okay. We'll work through it. I'll get to know you. We'll look at the symbols and we'll come up with a bunch of alternate meanings and zero in on the one which is most appropriate for you. And then talk about things you can do to honor the dream. I mean, quite often when somebody finally understands a really powerful, important dream, it's like, whammo. I got to go do this thing right away. And they'll call their brother or take money out of a bank account or whatever they have to do.
Right.
It's often more about just knowledge and awareness and thinking about something. But sometimes it's something that they want to do in the world right away that they didn't understand before.
Huh.
It can be, I mean, nightmares are unpleasant only to get your attention. That's all there's no such thing as a bad dream. So nightmares.
Really?
Yeah, no. Nightmares are pleasant only to get your attention for no other reason. It's like, hello, stupid. Do something about this. Finally.
Okay, so someone has a repeated sort of nightmare of someone following them at night, or falling, or something
right.
that's scary. That right. doesn't mean anything negative, is what you're saying.
Well, no, it, what it means is that you have been doing your best to ignore a very obvious issue.
Okay.
Okay, so you're being chased by someone.
I get it.
If you're being chased by someone, that's almost always about some responsibility, something that you have to do that you've been ignoring and not doing. Or not doing enough of, right? So, you know, dreams can be quite important. And the nightmares or, you know, repetitive dreams, which are mostly kind of unpleasant. You know, repetitive dreams wouldn't be happening. I mean, as human beings, we all have issues that were many of us struggle with the same issue all our life because that's our situation. And repetitive dreams will happen for that reason. But more specifically, really more to the point, as far as I'm concerned, they happen because, you know, a repetitive dream wouldn't be happening if there wasn't some way that you could be adjusting or tweaking your life to make it better, to get yourself happier and more fulfilled.
All right. I just remembered something I really want to ask you about. When I was younger, I used to do a lot of dreaming when I was in my teens and 20s and so on. And there were two different very big, expensive seeming houses that appeared
right.
repeatedly in my dreams. There were two different houses, but they were always the same inside. But sometimes when I'd look out the windows, they looked the surroundings looked different. Does that mean anything? If it happens to you repeatedly?
Yeah. So I'm sorry. My mind wandered for a second. You said that you were in two houses, right, or just one house?
Well, it was one house,
right.
And then after a while, that house sort of faded away after maybe 10 years, and I started being in a different house, and it was
okay.
always very much the same. The house never varied, but it was big. It was like a mansion. I've never
right,
lived in such
right.
a big house. Does
sure.
that mean anything at all?
And the outsides, the trees and the skies, also changed as well?
Sometimes they were I can remember once there was no land around it, and in another case the same house it had a huge amount of land. I just wonder if that means anything, because if it happens repeatedly, it probably
Again.
Means something.
Oh yeah, but very very obviously a house is a general symbol for entire units of things. Like it often represents your life, the different compartments of your life, different area, different rooms, different phases.
Ah.
Yes, it can rep, you know, subconscious basement, normal, higher conscious, the third floor, spiritual. It could be a huge mansion with all kinds of rooms in it. You know, you're having a
yes.
Then your life has expanded. You're versatile with all kinds of things. You've explored lots of things in your life. You
Oh, that makes much
you,
that makes
yeah,
sense.
But, it's a sort of dream which you'll have. It sounds like the big house dream is more congratulatory than anything else. Hey,
really?
Wow, look at all the things I've done.
Well, it did happen when I was going through a great deal of growth, and maybe that's what it meant. I don't know. That's very interesting. I never thought of it that way.
Well, you know, houses, I mean, a house can represent the compartments of your mind. It can represent the phases and compartments of your life. It could represent the phases and compartments of a marriage, of a graduate career, of a childhood from age 10 through age 20.
Yeah,
a
wow.
house can represent all those things, but it's usually the person's life or the person's mind.
That's so interesting. David, how would people reach you? You have a website, right?
Yeah, David Lowe, MSPH. There's no E in my name. It's David Lowe, L-O-W, MSPhD.com. So
okay.
I think Masters of Science, Doctor of Philosophy, David Lowe, MSPhD.com. No E on the name. Or the email is david@worldspirituality.com. That's the
email. Yeah, david@worldspirituality.com. And there's no punctuation either in your web address, right?
Oh, it's just the David Lowe, MSPhD.com, right.
But there's no punctuation. Okay, that's great. And you say that you do consultations for people if they're
oh, – yes.
if they'd like them. Okay. Well, I'm so glad to have had you here to explain things to me that I don't understand, but I understand them a little better. Thanks.
I didn't
you.
Tell you about any of my dreams or you.
Oh, well, we'll have to have you back to talk about that
next time.
This has been David Lowe. I'm so glad he's been with us today. David, thank you so much.
Thank you, Roberta. It's been wonderful to be on. Next time soon.
Okay. We'll talk soon.
Bye-bye.
And bye-bye. And everyone, as you know, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes, and I am so glad you could join us today. Please never forget, you are a powerful, eternal being. You never began, and you never will end. And when you, this is true. When you really get what that means, it's going to change everything in your life for the better. You live on an eternal scale. It's just transformational. So, and you get to that point. If you keep doing this kind of research, you will eventually get to the point when you realize that you are eternal. You get back more deeply into who and what you are. But there are all different paths. So for me, the path is knowledge, but for other people, it will be to do spiritual things. And David Lowe's book is wonderful for that. So whatever your voyage is, and if you have any questions or comments, you know how to reach me. Just go through my website. There's a contact block there, and I'm always so happy to answer emails. Just be sure you give me your right email address, because once in a while, I'll write a long answer and send it, and it comes back that someone has not put in their right address. Next week, our guest is Virginia Hummel, who is the Orb Whisperer. I met her in 2013 when I knew nothing about orbs, and she has taught me so much about them. This is something that you're going to enjoy, because you can learn to call in your loved ones and take pictures of their orbs. They appear as balls of energy, and this actually happens. I was skeptical at first, but I have some stories to tell you next week that will amaze you. Of course, this week our guest has been David Lowe. He was with us in the spring to talk about his website, worldspirituality.com, and his book, which is Universal Spiritual Philosophy and Practice. I've never known anyone other than David who has done so much work in all the different ways that we can be spiritual. Really extraordinary. And the fact that our bodies dream and sleep and dream is an area which I think a lot of people are fascinated by. And this is an area which, if you're interested in learning more about, you can learn a great deal about spiritual matters through your dreams. We've just only touched the surface. As you know, my nonfiction books are Liberating Jesus, My Thomas, The Fun of Dying, The Fun of Staying in Touch, The Fun of Growing Forever, and The Fun of Living Together. You can order them through bookstores or through Amazon.com, and they're available as audiobooks. Many more people than I ever thought are interested in the audiobooks, and also in 34 languages worldwide. You can find past episodes of Seek Reality on webtalkradio.net, on iTunes, and through the Seek Reality app that you can find for free in the iTunes store. Episodes that are a year or more old, you can often hear on the various Dream Vision 7 radio stations. I just love those people. They're doing such a wonderful job. And any time you ever wonder where I might be now, if I seem hard to find, just there's a radio tab at robertagrimes.com. You can just always find me there. Thank you so much for being with us today. This has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Please enjoy and make the most of this coming week in our one reality, knowing that you are a powerful, eternal being. You live forever. You never began. You never will end. And most of all, most importantly, you in particular are infinitely loved.